Welcome to the Narrative Project. In this instalment, Steve Bisley reads from his book Stillways, an hilarious scene of sibling mayhem that goes horribly wrong for our author.
Come out here, you weak bastard. I'm standing in the middle of the yard between the house and the shed. It's Saturday morning and Mum and Dad have gone shopping to Newcastle and won't be home for hours. Good thing, because I'm going to kill my older brother. I'm going to murder him. I'm going to dump his body in the creek, but not until I've tortured him with fire and electricity and petrol and a stock whip. I haven't got the other stuff, but I've got the whip coiled and stuck down the back of my pants so it can't be seen from the front. You wear a bra and panties and everyone knows you're a girl, I yelled towards the house. Nothing stirs. I know he's in there. He came into my bedroom earlier and ripped up two of my comics and punched me really hard on the top of my arm. He says he knows that I've taken one of his girly magazines, and if I don't give it back in 10 minutes, he's going to tie me to a bull ant's nest and put honey on my balls. That's when I went to the shed and got the whip. I'm really good with the stock whip. I practice a lot. I put small bits of paper on the lawn and cracked them with the lash. I never miss. I got my cousin Peter, who lives across the creek, to hold some paper in his mouth. He was so brave, and you can hardly notice the scar. Dick Bisley is a dickhead, I yell. Come out here and I'll punch your lights out, you knob. The screen door opens and he's on the veranda, looking really pissed off. Good. What did you say? I said, you're a fuckwit. I feel the stock whip coil against my back. All he needs is a little shove and he's mine. Chick, chick, chicken, I yell across the yard. Give me my magazine back, you little bastard, he roars, or I'll knock you out. He's getting really worked up now. He's taken the bait. Ooh, I'm so scared. Look, I'm shaking in my boots. I shake. That does it. He leaps off the veranda and starts towards me, a murderous look in his eyes. I reach behind my back and the whip's in my hand in an instant, uncoiling and vicious. He sees it and stops dead in his tracks, the venom draining from his face. I smile. Now he's in no man's land. I flick the whip behind me in preparation for the strike. He can't go forward. He can't go back. He's caught like the low, mangy dog he is. My left arm is still throbbing from where he punched me, but I'm about to even the score. He has two choices here. He can charge me head-on in the hope that he can get inside the whip before the lash gets him, or he can try and outrun it. I don't like his chances either way. I flick the lash back and forth a few times to help him make up his mind. Not so tough now, are you? I taunt. Picking on a 16-year-old when you're 21. His eyes dart around, and I know he's about to move. My right arm tenses. My hand tightens on the handle of the whip. He spins to the left and sidesteps right, hoping I'll be fooled by the move. He's only covered a few feet when I bring the whip forward in a whistling arc. My arm loops around my head, the whip now at full extension. Then I drop my elbow and flick my wrist at the same time. The thin, plaited leather snakes through the air like a scythe. The lash at the very tip turns ballistic, hurtling towards a target at max speed. He's only 10 feet away when the lash finds its mark. I draw the whip back behind me in case he comes again, but I needn't have bothered. For the moment, he seems to have forgotten about me. He seems more concerned with a small area on the right cheek of his ass, like it suddenly caught fire. His legs are dancing in an apparent attempt to outrun the burning sensation, and he's just screamed like a girl at a Beatles concert. Now he heads off towards the house, clutching his bum. He disappears into the laundry, and I hear the sound of water running, and I guess he's dancing the flames. I guess he's dousing the flames. Then he's back, heading across the veranda, water dripping from the back of his pants and a broom in his hands. A broom. I hadn't really planned for this. The murderous look is back on his face and he's coming fast. I circle a whip around my head and crack the lash as a warning, but all it seems to do is make him madder. I unleash the whip again in a last attempt to dissuade him. Same action as before. Arm, wrist, the sound of the thin leather whistling, the lash seeking the target. At the very last moment, he lifts the broom handle above his head and the leather wraps around it like a snake on a stick. With one swift action, he wrenches the whip from my hand. Something thin loosens in my bowels. I am standing in front of a bullet-ridden whitewashed wall in some lawless Mexican town. My bloodstained shirt is open to my waist. I am blindfolded. My arms are tied behind my back. I know in my troubled heart that I have fought hard for the revolution, but it's come to this. I hear the sound of the rifles being cocked. I feel the wild adrenaline in my chest, the last breath ragged in my throat. I wait and wait, and finally it comes with a bang.
The Narrative Project was produced and directed by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Arts Canvas Bay FM 99.9. Post-production by William Martin and theme music by Ken Norton and Karina Wynne-Moylan, made with assistance from the Community Broadcasting Foundation.